Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
In a serious recession, career changes are often the only option. And the U.S. economy has long benefited from and prided itself on the mobility of its workforce, from place to place, from position to position, from career to career. But just as the recession seems to have erased the income gains since 1992 for the middle class, that was a painful statistic, the traditional fluidity of the American workforce is starting to freeze up as well. Geographic mobility is way down as people lose the financial resources to take a leap and relocate. But some of the obstacles in the path of changing jobs or changing careers may be the result of restrictive rules, not economic theory. Today, about 30% of Americans' jobs require licenses. That's a percentage that is rising, and what's also rising is the cost of getting those licenses, which may be critical to being able to be employed at all in certain professions. This weekend, the New York Times Magazine explores the frustrating and expensive world of acquiring licenses, and we thought we'd do a little exploring ourselves. With us in the studio is Lance Lappin, a hairstylist and salon owner based right here in Manhattan. Lance, thanks for coming down.
Good morning. You're welcome.
So tell me about how a license affects your ability to work, or someone, say myself, would want to get out of radio and go into your profession. How long would it take and how expensive would it be for me to get a license?
Well, in New York, it's 10 months. And I don't know exactly what the price is now, but it's somewhere probably between $10,000 and $15,000.
And do you think it's appropriate for people in your profession to have a license as opposed to just going to school and going to work?
Well, it is the system. I had to get a license when I decided to become a hairdresser. It was a lot cheaper back then. It was $1,900.
Well, there you go. Why do you think it's risen, the price has risen?
Because everything else has. But in relationship to sending my two kids to college and having over a $200,000 debt, it's relatively inexpensive.
There you go, Lance.
And very quick, in 10 months, which was what my, aside from it fit the criteria that I was looking for in my life, to be creative and have the ability to then go on to open up my own business, it seemed perfect. Until the first day of school, when I realized, what have I done? How do I fit into this world? And the statistics of the hundreds of people that go into school, three will graduate.
So I hesitate to say hazing process, but that really make sure that the very best people are the ones that make it into the actual profession. We're talking with Lance Lappin, who's a hairstylist and salon owner, describing his license acquisition experience. His business is based here in Manhattan. Also joining us is Morris Kleiner, a professor at the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota. He's author of the book Licensing Occupations, Ensuring Quality or Restricting Competition. He joins us on the phone. So, Morris, you've heard the argument that Lance makes about the quality being the issue in the license procedure for hairstylists. When does it go the other direction and simply be an unwanted or unneeded or harmful restriction on people in the workforce trying to get a job in a new profession?
There's a fine line, and one of the issues is that, yes, it might increase quality, but it also fences people out and raises the prices of the service. Consequently, a lot of individuals can't enter those occupations, and individuals perhaps at the lower part of the income distribution can't afford the service.
Now, what professions do you think licenses simply constitute that kind of restriction? I mean, no one's going to argue that you would get rid of pilot's licenses or medical licenses, that sort of thing, right?
Right. I mean, certainly issues where health and safety, or where there's very clear and overwhelming evidence that health and safety are problems, those occupations clearly should be licensed. But what's happening is this, as you pointed out earlier, the dramatic growth in the number of occupations that are becoming licensed, and also the number of people who are in licensed occupations.
What is the most ridiculous sort of licensing requirement you've ever encountered?
Well, there's licensing of horse tooth filers, which individuals who take care of the teeth of horses, they have become licensed. Only the front of the horse is licensed, but not the rear end.
So you have to go to school to learn how to file horse teeth? It actually doesn't sound that unreasonable, but does this require a full veterinary license?
That in the past, you needed to be a veterinarian, but they're loosening up some of those requirements and requiring individuals to go to school for a certain period of time. In other countries, for example, cosmetologists, and I just returned from Wales and England, and there's no requirement for licensing, for example, of cosmetologists and barbers.
Talking with Morris Klein, who is a professor at the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota. So, Lance Lappin, in a time of recession, does your license constitute something of a security blanket because you know that you're in and there's an obstacle to entry for others who might come into the field and compete with you?
No, not at all. I don't think so.
Do you think that it is... And again, I guess for the comparison for you is, and for you personally, was, all right, do I want to go into debt with a four-year college education, or do I want to go to school for 10 months and spend, I guess in your case, $9,000 to get a hairstylist license?
For me, it was my aha moment when I discovered hairdressing, where it found me. So it just fit my criteria, and I was willing to go through the system. And I learned something a long time ago. If you have a problem with what's being asked, do it, and then suggest the change.
Well, congratulations on the success of your business. Morris, you want to take us out? Last thought before we go?
Just the issue of licensing as a way to fence, keep people out, and also the issue of monopolies. That is, in labor law, it's illegal to have a closed shop where you have to be, for example, a member of a union to do the work. And in licensing, that's really the case.
Where do licenses fit in this recession? Morris Klein, a professor at the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota, author of the book Licensing Occupations, Ensuring Quality or Restricting Competition. And thanks to Lance Lappin, a hairstylist and salon owner right here in New York. Thanks, guys.